Okay, Rabbi Isai, let's begin. Rabbi Isai, let's have order in the court. Yesterday we began, let's review this a little bit more. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaroi. Wow, it's kedai just to come here to hear that amen. I feel like Eitan Feiner. Eitan Feiner, when he says a shir, the first thing he does is, every shir, he makes shahakal. And he makes shahakal like you've never seen. Like the biggest Rebbe you've ever seen. Baruch, Atah, he taught very, very slow, very clear. And then he goes rapid fire. It's like launch.
He goes fast. Going slow is a trick by him.
I know his mother-in-law. Happened to be the mother-in-law of him and Rabbi Marcus from Queens,
right? Marcus.
And she's a wonderful, wonderful person. She's related to my son-in-law. And both son-in-laws are great.
Tell me the Chachamim. He's a celebrity over here. The schus of the mother-in-law, yeah, mayor? The schus of the shvigats and the schus of the shvigats. A person's... Okay, let's learn. Yesterday, we're going to do this a little bit more today. Yesterday we started this. I want to do some of the Mamari Chazal, and we'll see some other things. I want to do page 404 today. Page 404, we started this yesterday. The pasuk over here says, V'hadarucha. We didn't really do too much about this. V'hadarucha tzlach. According to Rashi, we're describing over here the Talmidei Chachamim. And the Pasuk says, V'hadarucha. V'hadarucha means with your splendor. The splendor that was mentioned in the previous Pasuk. This is very interesting because we have two words that are next to each other. Look, the last word of Pasuk Dalit is V'hadarucha. And this word is V'hadarucha. V'adorecha. How many? So even though the pronunciation is different, but the spelling is exactly the same. It can get very, very confusing. Okay, end of the pasuk. V'adorecha. End of the pasuk. And here it's V'adorecha is the beginning. The trub is also different. It's a soif pasuk, and this is the pashto. Okay, so the two words are juxtaposed. How many times do you have in the Torah such a thing? Moshe, Moshe, Avraham, Avraham. Or you have words that are, I don't remember all the exact details. You have this a couple of times in the Torah.
There are a handful of them.
Right. And then with the word Terach, the word repeats itself twice. Sometimes it's the end of a pasuk, and then the next one is the beginning of the pasuk. Or it's a word Miseh. Miseh means... a sheep, and then it says Moshe. Okay, there are different examples of where you have two words that are back to back that have exactly the same spelling, but they have different.
Haman, Hamin.
Right. All right. Okay, there are different examples. But no, I'm talking about where it's back to back. Just to take note, this is not a common thing in Tanakh. This is not common in Tanakh where you have two words that are back to back. They have exactly the same spelling. But they have a different pronunciation because obviously in this case one word is the end of the pasuk. Pasuk dal is chagor charbucha al yorech gibor hoidcha vahadorecha, and then the next word that is exactly the same spelling as the beginning of the next pasuk is vahadorecha. That's the beginning of the next pasuk, and it's referring to the same item: your cherev, which is your splendor, tzelach. With your splendor, be successful. Rechav, ride al devar emes. So we learned yesterday. L'chore
does. What's the change?
No, just the beginning of the pasuk. With your splendor, succeed.
And your glory, or whatever.
With your glory.
Same thing,
right? But it's a new sentence, and in this new sentence, it happens to be the proper location for the word is in the beginning of the sentence. But it's a continuation of the previous. Pasuk. The previous pasuk says that a gibor, the splendor, the hoid and the hodor of a gibor is his sword. And now this pasuk says, and with that splendor, which l'chore is that sword, you shall be successful. Go to war. Go out to war and conquer. And rechav, and ride high. Rechav means to ride, but in this context it means it's another word for success. Tzalach means to succeed. Rechav means to succeed. Two different expressions, which in my limited understanding is basically the same thing. Obviously not. There's a different element, different dimension as exactly what it means. Maybe you'll suggest one is a spiritual success, one is a physical success. But rechav means to ride high. We say, what is the expression? Avi avi rechav Yisrael ufarashav. Said this about Eliyahu when Eliyahu went to Shemayim. Avi avi, father, father, you are the chariot. You are the chariot of the Jewish people and its horsemen. Okay, that's an expression that means you are elite. You are supreme. Rechav means to ride. We gave an example yesterday. Haman. Haman, isn't it very bizarre? If someone would call you in today, any person who never saw the Megillah, never read the Megillah, and they would call you in, the President of the United States would call you in and say, I want to give honor to a certain person. Give me an idea. What should I do to give a person honor? I would say, give him money. Money, give him money. Give him a gift certificate. Give him money. Right? That's how you reward. The way people today are rewarded is with money, a bonus. Comes the end of year, you worked hard in a company, you get a bonus.
Sometimes it's a promotion.
A promotion. So would you ever say to the President of the United States, you know what you should do to give him honor? Put him in your beast, in your vehicle, the limousine of the President of the United States is called the beast, and have an entourage, I think there are approximately 45 vehicles that always accompany the President of the United States wherever he goes. At least 45 vehicles. One is an ambulance, one is a whole security detail, one car just to carry the football, just in case in the middle, while the President of the United States is on the FDR, just in case he wants to decide to blow up the world, to press a few buttons to blow up the world, there's a guy that has to be there with the nuclear codes, because maybe on the FDR drive, if he's coming to New York, he might want to destroy the world. So you have to have a car that has the nuclear codes with a person carrying the nuclear codes trailing behind the President of the United States. And you know how much that costs a year to do that, to have always a guy trailing behind? You can't even imagine how much you here in this room are paying for that. Taxpayer money. So if you go into it, give him honor. What is the honor? Put him in your vehicle and have the entire entourage travel around the city, create gridlock for everyone, and they shall scream out, Kocho ye'ose lo'ish asher melech chofetz bikoro. He rides on the horse that the king rides on, and he parades throughout the street, and they scream before him, Kocho ye'ose lo'ish asher melech chofetz bikoro. I think today it would be considered to be weird, bizarre, to give a person honor by riding in the automobile of the leader of the free world, and have the police go in front of him and create gridlock for everyone else. You'll be good. Okay, Mark. Today, all the rebels do it.
Yeah, they have the caravan.
We have ticker tape parades. It's the same idea.
A ticker, so Mr. Marillis is saying something different. A ticker tape parade is not riding on the king's horse.
No, it's riding on a float.
So you're already adapting to the times. In America, we do things differently. We have parades. We don't actually have horses that you ride upon and wear special garments. And people call out, Kocho ye'ose lo'ish asher melech chofetz bikoro. The word rechav is presented here in this pasuk as an expression of greatness. Tzelach comes from the word hatzlocha, success, and rechav means to ride high. What are you riding high? It represents success. Why? We learned yesterday, according to at least the mitzvahs, al devar, because you're an honest man, honest Abe. Al devar emes, because you're honest, va'anvot tzedek, humility. Humility is a virtue. It's a virtue. That's what it says in Tehillim. In this world, doesn't seem like it's a virtue, but va'anva, with humility of tzedek, of righteousness, v'sorcha, we learned yesterday in Mitzudos, and thus by having these milos, you yourself will teach. You will teach yourself. Okay, the word v'sorcha comes with Torah. What does Torah mean? Instruction, hoira, V'tzorcha noiraos yiminach. According to the mitzudos, we must put these three words together. Okay, we have some background issues. Blazer, can you hear me?
You are on the night Zoom.
Okay, I'm on the wrong. Okay, give me 1 second. Okay, good. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah,
there's also not many
people.
The sound is not good? You hear good? The sound is okay?
You'll hear it better if you come to
show up. How is the sound now?
No, also okay.
The sound, I changed microphones on the computer.
Yeah.
The sound is better now?
It's the same. It's good.
It's the same? It's okay? Let me try a different microphone. How is it now? How is the sound now?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good, okay. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go. Let's proceed. Okay, over here it says...
We must switch the websites. The Zoom.
I'm sorry?
So, yeah, this... you are...
I'm on the wrong channel?
I'm
on the wrong channel. Yes. Okay, that's what you mean to say. Okay, so log off. Okay, log off and go into the other channel. Okay, thank you.
I have a from that channel.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Yes.
I'll see you on the other side. You would think after all these years of doing this, I would do it right by now, right? Not exactly. All right, here we go.
Recording in progress.
Reb Lazy, you got here first. You beat me. Oh, yes. Okay. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go continue now. Okay, good. Okay. Thank you for telling me. Okay, here we go. I'm just putting on mute. Okay. So let's continue now over here. We have here. Now we have to read it backwards. May your right hand teach you. May your right hand teach you. May it teach you neurois. May it teach you wondrous things. In other words, according to the Mitzvah David, it's the emphasis, the key word in this expression is the word yiminecha, which means you don't need to come on to anyone else. You can do anything that you want by yourself. Today we live in a world where you need permission. The state of Israel cannot do anything without permission of the United States. Kimat. Everything is always, you have to be very delicate. You live in a very dangerous neighborhood. You don't want to ignite World War III. Many countries who need to come on to assistance of other countries, they do not do anything without first consulting, without getting permission. Rabbi Yisrael, please. Today we live in a world where you're always looking to get permission. You're always looking for assistance. Over here, the Melech HaMashiach, according to the parish of the Mitzvah David, we're learning about the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, you can do whatever you want. You don't need permission. You don't need assistance. You don't need to consult. Yiminecha, your own right hand. The emphasis of Yiminecha, according to the Mitzvah, means you yourself, you don't need permission, can do the Sorecha, you can offer instructions to the world, to your followers, to do Noiraos, wondrous things without anyone else's help. Chitzecha Shenunim, your arrows are sharp. Amim tachtecha, yiplu, nations will fall beneath you. And we learned yesterday the word yiplu is meant to be repeated twice. Yiplu, where will the arrows land? They will land belave oivei hamelech, in the heart of the king's enemy. You're the king. The Melech over here refers to the Melech HaMashiach according to the Mitzudos. You are the Melech, and the Melech has enemies, and your arrows will land in the heart of your enemies. Okay, that's pretty much according to the Mitzudos. We did that yesterday. Now we're going to learn Rashi. Rashi learns that this whole Mizmah is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. And now we continue in the theme of Talmidei Chachamim, Pasuk Kein Rashi, Al Devar Emes, Lohoyrois, Kados Ulhisnaig, Ba'anvas Tzedek. So Devar means law. V'hadorchotz tzlach, let's understand. According to the Mitzudos, according to Rashi, the subject are Talmidei Chachamim. The cherev is not a real sword. A cherev represents Talmudic knowledge. It represents lasuke shmeitza aliba dehilchasa. It represents milchamta shel Torah. A person who spent his entire life toiling for real, not drinking coffee, but toiling for real, learning Torah and mastering the Torah. This is his splendor, his knowledge, his accumulated knowledge, in together with his Yirah Shamayim. This is his sword. This sword is his pride. And with this pride, he will success and will prevail to teach the world Amita Shel Torah. When it says here, according to Rashi, Al Devar Emes, it's not because. According to the Mitzudas David, we're discussing government. According to the Mitzudas David, we're describing the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach is like a gibor. He has a sword. It's a metaphor. It means he's successful with his good deeds and his Yirah Shamayim, and he will rise in political prominence. Why? You have to add into the past, according to the Mitzvahs of it, why? Why will he be so successful? Because he's been an honest Abe. He's a good man. Al Devar Emes. Because he was, until now, a man of truth. And Va'an V'tzedek, according to Rashi, that's not what it means. There is no question of why in the pasuk. It is instead a result. When there will be a halachic dilemma that is presented in this generation that never presented itself until now, who will be qualified to answer the question? It will be the Talmud Chacham who carries the sword. The Talmud Chacham who has been successful in Torah, who has achieved victory in Milchamta Shel Torah, he with his splendor, with his knowledge, and Yirah Shamayim v'Hadorcha Tzlach, he will be successful. Rechav, he will prevail. Al here means with Devar Emes, Piskei Halacha, matters of truth, Halacha, Amita Shel Torah. You have a question, and you go to a rabbi for an answer. So some rabbis, not everyone knows the answer. They fumfa, they go and they maybe this, maybe that, and you walk away more confused than you were when you started, when you had a question. And some talmidei chacham who have a full grasp of the subject matter, you walk away with incredible clarity, and you walk away with emes. A devar emes, a psak halacha that is correct, because this Talmud Chacham carries the sword, which is his splendor, and that is Amita Shel Torah. Likewise, he's humble, va'an v'tzedek, a humility. If you put it together, if you want to put it together, I prefer it's not just a humility and righteousness. It means real humility. What does it mean, va'an v'tzedek? According to the Mitzudah, it's really two things. If you go back briefly to the Mitzudas David, you look at the way Titus Va'an V'Tzedek, he says, Ba'avorcho emes she'osisa, uva'avor she'hoyisa, onov b'tzedek. Onov, humble, with righteousness. It would appear that the Mitzudas David learns that there are two different concepts, humility and righteousness. I'm trying to suggest that it's one concept because there are fake humble people. There are sincere humility. Good, excellent. Sincere humility. There are people who make believe they are humble, but really they're mole gaiva.
In other words, they brag about how humble they are.
You want an example? You want an example? Yours truly. Okay? You make believe. put on a black jacket, right? You put on a tie. You make believe. You want to make people, there are fakers out there. And then there are people that are the real deal. The real deal. If you read about Rav Moshe Feinstein, this one that always comes out over and over and over again is authentic humility. Authentic humility. Every godly, you know, has their, you know, summarized a godly, you know, in a word. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Anova, Onov, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Torah, Rav Eliashiv, well, we say Eliashiv legacy, Poisek. There's certain things that leap off the page. Rav Steinman, Malach. Okay, there's certain, you read the biographies of these Gedolei Yisrael, after the whole biography, summarize them in one word. There are certain midas which just leap off the page of who they were. So this, an Anva Tzedek, authentic.
But nevertheless, he knew who he was.
Okay, there are many Perushim.
Even though he was an Onov, but he knew who he was.
100%. That you can't, there's no other way.
You know, about an operation that he has, you know, that he might be possible for Sanhedrin, which, you know, so he knew who he was.
He knew, of course. What a humility doesn't mean you make.
We have a false understanding.
No, I think most people are mature enough to realize that Anova means you know who you are, but you don't take advantage. You don't let it get to you. You don't let it get to you. You know who you are. It's not make believe. You know, oh, I'm a nobody. No, I know who I am, but I don't take advantage of who I am and let it get to
don't
me.
Chip on your shoulder,
and let it get to me. Wow, I'm the greatest person in the room. Everyone, when I walk in, how come no one is standing up for me? that you know who you are, but yet you don't wear it on your collar. Is that the expression? You don't on your sleeve. You don't wear it on your sleeve. Okay, so the Anvei.
I don't know what he means. He means that the Talmid Chacham bocher on three things. Number one, Dva Emet. Number two is Anvat Tzedek. And number three, HaTorah Shelo.
Oh, so you're saying a drush. So you're saying an idea. Oh, Rabbi Wolf. Shalom Aleichem. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you.
Regards from Yerushalayim.
Regards to Shafa, your daughter. I spoke to your daughter yesterday.
I spoke in the morning.
Yes.
She sends regards.
Okay, thank you. It's good to see you, Rabbi Wolf. Good to see you. Okay. Mark, you're a tzaddik. Okay, right, let's go further. The Anva Tzedek, V'sorchanos, so Rav Kalman is saying a beautiful idea. Rav Kalman over here is saying that in order to succeed in life, you have to have three midos, Emes, Anova, and Torah. There are three words over here that are back-to-back. Dvar Emes, V'Anva Tzedek, V'sorcha. This is the success to life. Emes, Anova, and Talmudic scholarship. Okay, let's go further to Rashi. So therefore, Rashi over here disagrees with the Mitzudos in many accounts. Number one, we describe going to be a Talmid Chachamim. Number two, when it says Al Dvar Emes, there is no why. The reason why you are successful is because you're honest. No, that's not what it means according to Rashi. This is the result of being a Talmud Chacham for real. It's now Al Dvar Emes. When there will be a matter, a new issue in the world, in halacha, you'll be able to conclude, make a decision. Torah labashemayim hi. You will give a decision of what is the correct thing to do. Next, the sorocha. We read further in the Rashi, in the second line of Rashi. Sorocha Torah udvar hu emes shetaseg boy he Torah or Yisrael, it will guide you. The Dvar Emes, maybe I said before maybe it might have been a Jewish. Maybe that's not really what Rashi over here is saying. Rashi over here is saying is your compass in life, put it like that. Your compass in life will be the Torah. One more time, words of Rashi. Visorcho, ha Torah, udvar ho emes, the Torah, and the Emes. Shetasoik, by which you occupy yourself with the entire day, it will instruct you how to conduct yourself. Tachsisecha melchama with the what's a good word for tachsise? The matters, but the tactic. Excellent. the tactics of war, lasois yemincha noirois, to do with your right hand wondrous things. Now, what does he mean here with war? I guess it means the war of life. Everything in life is a war. In life, there's always battles in making decisions and how to deal with people, to deal with situations. And when a person is a Talmud Chacham, his compass is, well, what does the Torah want me to do? What is the desire of Hashem? What should I do in this situation? So based upon my Torah knowledge, I analyze the Taryag Mitzvahs. Is it one of the Mitzvahs to do this? Or is there an Avera to do this? Is it a Mitzvah to do this? And even if it's not in the category of a Mitzvah or an Avera, based upon the flavor of everything that you know, you have, it creates, the Torah creates an impression upon you of what you should do in this situation. This term is an abuse term, okay? If you want to hear Shum on this, go to listen to Rabbi Rakefet. He claims, you know, he's very proud of that he is the biggest expert on Das Torah, in this concept called Das Torah. What is exactly called, what is Das Torah? No one knows. It's a term that has been invented about 100 years ago, I think by the Aguda. I think the Aguda invented this term about 100 years ago, Das Torah, and it basically means what Rashi says exactly here. It is when you have a dilemma in life and you go and you check the Taryag Mitzvahs, and guess what? It's not in the Taryag Mitzvahs. I have to make a decision. Should I do A or B? So is it an Avera? Is it a Mitzvah to do A or B? Let's check. Go through the Taryag Mitzvahs. It does not, the dilemma that I find myself does not fit into any one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Okay? So what do I do now? Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm conflicted. I can do this, do that. So you go to a Talmud Chacham, an exceptional Talmud Chacham, who sits and learns the whole day. And the understanding is that the Torah has created such a roisham upon him, on his mind, that when you present to him a dilemma that is not from the Taryag Mitzvahs, and you have no desire, personal nitiya, leaning to go one way or another. Sometimes you just, you like,
personal agenda.
You come to, you, they serve you, go to a wedding. Would you like chicken or would you like meat? What would you like? What kind of soup would you like? You like a matzo ball or you like a vegetable soup? So if I like matzo ball, so I like matzo ball. So you eat matzo. Some people like matzo ball. Some people like a vegetable soup. That's not the question. Okay, is it from the Taryag Mitzvahs what to do in this case? Let's assume no. There's no shaila of naseh or loisaseh. Do you like one more than the other? Well, if you do, do what you want to do. I don't. Okay, so it's none of the. So now what do you do? So you go to a Talmud Chacham who has absorbed Kol HaTorah Kula, and you present the dilemma. The understanding is because he's Kula Torah, he will. It's more than that. Because he's Kula Torah,
he's the Torah. There are thousands and thousands of precedents.
He's just his mind. He's a living Sefer Torah. He's like the Udim V'tum. It's not a matter of, there's another element, there's an adder of that he has Siyata D'Shmayim and HaShemayim, that he, divine Ruach HaKodesh. That's another approach. Some will tell you that Das Torah is Ruach HaKodesh. Let's not go there. Let's take away Ruach HaKodesh. Hester upon him. But because he is so engrossed, he lives and breathes Torah, when you present him a dilemma that's not Taryag Mitzvahs and you have no Nitiya, he will just tell you, Das Torah. What being living and breathing Torah, his answer will be something which will be the desire of what the Torah wants you to do. That's a very deep concept. Now, what's a priority? We're dealing with making a decision. People come to Gedolim with big decisions about shidduchim, where to send their children to yeshiva. all different types of the medical decisions, what to do, medical issues, the doctors, you have conflicting opinions, doctors.
Well, they have a dream if they go on the trip, something's going to happen.
Okay, that's,
should they really go on that trip?
Okay, right. All different decisions. Now, what I just told you is only one version. Okay, this is a make-believe term called Das Torah. It's like, let's say, what was the big issue of Das Torah? The big issue of Das Torah back in the day when this term probably became invented was, you have to understand, it is impossible to relate to this today because it's way after the fact, it's 100 years later. Should there be a Jewish state? This was the big, big hot potato back 100 years ago. Again, we're talking over here before anything. Should there be a Jewish state? Should from people emigrate to Eretz Yisrael? Should they promote it? All the complicated issues. Again, today it sounds humorous to talk about this, but read the history. It was when the World War I broke out, the whole thing was over. The whole issue became was moot. But it was a big, hot debate amongst Gedolei Yisrael, what to do. I know my great grandfather was part of the Knesset Gedolah. And he was in the minority opinion. He was very pro. He was very pro-Israel. Very pro there should be a Medina. And he had on his side a number of other, the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. But my impression from reading the history is that the majority of the Gedolei Yisrael at that time disagreed. They held to stay away from this. The whole issue became completely irrelevant after the war broke out. But before, when there was still some semblance of peace in the world, if you can even say that, it's not from the Tayag Mitzvahs, unless you want to go say Yishever, let's put that out of the side of the Tayag Mitzvahs. It's a question, what does the Torah want us to do in this situation? Should we promote Zionists? Should we go along with this? Should we give money, resource? Should we participate or not? These are tough, tough questions. Okay, and that's a national question. But dealing with questions in your life, what do you do? So look what it says over here in this Rashi. This Rashi really, so many people today have come along and made a litzonus almost out of this term. People who are not part of the community of this world. Not everyone, different strokes or different folks. And they what's Das Torah? Das Torah. It's a very interesting topic.
Who is Das Torah?
What is Das Torah? It's an invented something with a term that was invented. Was invented and today it's abused and it's used and this and that. Rabbi, if you want to hear Shiurim on the history of Das Torah and on sin, then Ayin Rabbi Aaron Rakefet Shlita, you should live long, he should be healthy and good, and he loves this topic, and he if you listen to him, he has a lot of self confidence, to say the least. And he's good. He's good. He has what to say about this topic. Very, very fascinating material. And really, this Rashi really says it all. This Rashi is great source material for this topic. Rashi learns this entire Mizmar is referring to Talmidei Chachamim. And this Rashi says it all. This Rashi really is a summary of Das Torah. And he says, HaTorah U'Devar Ho'emesh She'Taseg Boi He Toire Oischa, it is your guide. It is your compass in the Tachsisei HaMilchama, which Ramachol very accurately translated as in the tactics.
No, but you see the Torah and Hora.
Torah means instruction. It means instruction. It means decisions. Hora means a decision. Doesn't necessarily mean a decision in halacha. Is the steak kosher or not? We're talking about matters that have no connection to Taryag Mitzvahs. What color shirt should I wear? Should I wear a striped shirt? Should I wear a red shirt? What color? It is your tach in the tachsisi hamilchama la sois yimincha norois, so that your right hand will succeed in doing wondrous things. You make a bad decision in life, you're doomed. If you dine with the wrong people, you know the whole world is screaming, what are the consequences? No one knows. No one knows. Okay, and hindsight is 20/20. But when a person, b'shas ma'aseh, makes a bad decision, there could be major consequences. If you have Das Torah, okay, I don't like using that term, then you think differently. it's your guide to make decisions that will result in wondrous things. Wondrous. Okay. Manoira hamokoyim hazeh. This week's parsha. Okay. Okay. Let's go further. Lufi shehizkir Talmud Torah. It depends on the context. The word Noraois obviously depends on the context in which it is used. In this week's parsha, Rav Kalman pointed out Manoira hamokoyim hazeh. What does it mean here? Okay, over here, when this pasuk Yimin Cho Noira, does it mean they're going to fear you? People, are you, is that the goal of a Talmud Chacham? Everyone should be afraid of him. Chas v'shalom. Have respect. Is that really the goal? Have respect. Is it they want respect for you or respect for the Torah? They don't want respect for you. Talmud wants to channel his success to Hashem. People should respect the Torah. You don't necessarily respect the person. Now, because we go and we mask here Talmud HaTorah B'loshon Milchama, Rashi is a very big promoter of metaphors, especially in Tehillim, all over. Rashi very much does not take the words of the Torah literally. Rashi very often, he looks at a pasuk as a metaphor. The Mitzudos is much more down to strict translation. And Rashi is Lefi Shizkir Talmud Atar B'Lashon Milchama Noiva B'Lashon Yemin HaMeyumenes Lihilochem. Rashi, why Yemincha? Yemincha is a vocabulary word that's part of the lexicon of war. Every topic has its vocabulary. If you deal with animals, you have a certain vocabulary. You deal with people, a psychologist has his vocabulary. You deal with an astronomer has his vocabulary. There are certain words that are part of a discipline. And the word yamin is a word that's part of the lexicon of war. So because the word yamin over here doesn't mean anything more than your right hand. Yamin Hashem ne'adori ba'koyach. Yamin Hashem oise choyl. It's a battle, a word of battle. In your battles, you will succeed. What battles? The Milchamtoi Shel Torah, the war of Torah. Pasuk Vav, Chitzecha Shinunim Belev. Your arrows are sharp. Where will they land? Precision, laser guided precision missiles. They will land in the lave, the heart, Oyvei HaMelech. Shinunim, Rabbi Chol, what is the translation for this old French?
Sharpened.
Vare is a mikra misoiros. We have to read the words backwards. Umotzinu shatalmidim kruyim chitzim. We have to see what he means in a moment. The talmidei chach, that students are called arrows, shenemar, kichitzim biyad gibor kein b'nei hanu'udim. Like arrows of a gibor, so are the b'nei hanu'udim, are the young students. V'talmidei chachamim hamizu yonim. Or in the nusach acher, Hamidainim, the halacha. What is the word Hamidainim, the halacha? The dayanim? They are experts in halacha.
They adjudicate,
they're very good. They judgment. They issue judgment. Adjudicate, the halacha. Kirim, they're called oivim zelazeh. They're called enemies to one another. Lefisha, at the moment, when they fight, it's a battle. Milchamta shel Torah, shenemar, lo yivoshu ki yidaberu es oivim bashar. You're not embarrassed when you speak es oivim bashar, when you speak to your enemies in the gate. The gate over here refers to the Beis Medrash. I remember someone made a wedding. He told me that many years ago he was in Chaim Berlin, and he used to learn Bein Hastarim with the Rosh Shiva of Aaron Schachter. And it was a very, very, it goes many, many years. And he says they would get involved in halach, in Talmudic debate, and he was very disrespectful. He spoke to him with mamish, like real stark, very, and someone that was there at the time. He told us someone was there at the time, and his eyes were popping out, he was really arguing with him. You know, he was much older than him. And he said to the Rosh Hashiva, how do you let this guy talk to you like that? It's not their cheretz. So Rosh Hashiva was like, it's good, don't worry. He said, it's good. He's really into the learning. He's really, really excited. He's getting all worked up about what I said. And he's arguing. He said, let it go. He'll get older. He'll learn some derech her, hopefully. Now he has a lot of derech her. He does a lot of derech her. He always tells me the story. He tells me the story how he used to learn, and he used to battle, and to an observer who saw what was going on, he thought that this was terrible. It was very disrespectful, and he tried to stop it. And the Rosh Yeshiva told him, no, let him talk the way he wants to talk. It's good. All right, some would argue today, everyone can say what they want to go to, but over here, Rashi here says that to an observer, they look like enemies. They look like enemies. You're not embarrassed. What are you not embarrassed? When someone insults you and says that your shir makes no sense, it doesn't make one word of sense, because there's a Rashba here and a Taisras here, and there's a Ketzois and the Sivs that say just the opposite, and you're an idiot. Okay, you shouldn't say that, obviously. That's a little bit extreme. So I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed when someone goes and knocks me out and publicly and says nasty things about me, as long as it is within a framework that is of Torah. Ki yidabru es oivim b'ashorin, the gate of the Beis Medrash. Amim tachtach yiblu b'schar ha-Torah, in the reward of the Torah. Yiblu ha-umim ha-tachtem shal Yisrael. This is an incredible thing. What he writes over here is that in the reward, in the Sechar HaTorah, okay, this is basically the foundation. I'm not getting into controversy here. You all know, we're not over here talking about the Gius. Okay, now it's quiet, Baruch Hashem, at least for the moment. You don't hear so much in the news about it, about in Eretz Yisrael to draft all the Yeshiva Bachrim into the army. I'm not getting involved over here, and I have the greatest respect for the Chayolim. In fact, this past Shabbos, I went away and I was in the presence of Rabbi Moshe Meir Weiss. You know where Moshe Meir Weiss is? Yeah. He used to be a Rav. He's a very big, tremendous Talmid Chacham. He's a Rav in Staten Island. He's a very interesting person. I don't have to go tell you. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham. I heard him speak the Shabbos many times. Everything that he says is really an enormous amount of experience, life experience, and Yediyas HaTorah. He really has what to say. He has a shitas. I'm not telling you, he has very unique opinions. One thing he said that was very interesting is that in Staten Island, he was very makbid every Shabbos to say the Yehiratzon for the Chayolim. And now he moved to Lakewood. He's probably one of the only places in the whole Lakewood. He retired. He moved to Lakewood, and he set up a shul in his basement. And it appears to be a pretty big minion. In Lakewood, you just have to build a shul, they'll come. And in his shul in Lakewood, he says the Yehi Rotzon, and he himself says it every Shabbos before Musaf. He gets up and he says it slowly with kavanah, the Yehi Rotzon for the Chayolei Hatzava for the RDF. He says, he himself says it, and he's very proud to say it. He doesn't know why everyone else in Lakewood doesn't say it. And he's a real, here's some of his ideas, things that he says are really extreme, to the right. I'm telling you, he says some things that are really off to the extreme right. But he says, how could you not say the Bakosha to Hashem, they protect us? And he's telling us stories when he goes to Eretz Yisrael and he sees the Chayolim. So I'm not getting here involved in the debate, but I'm just saying over here is that part of the argument that those that do not participate in going to the army is many, many factors. Is this Rashi? Is in the Zuchus that Eretz Yisrael, the Medina, needs there to be people devoted to learning Torah. Because part of the arsenal of Klal Yisrael in protecting themselves from the Vilde Chayas that surround us is the Zuchus HaTorah. And the Medina has to take upon itself that there should be a segment of society that are given the opportunity to fully devote themselves to the study of Torah as part of their arsenal to protect Klal Yisrael. And this Rashi says it here, B'schar HaTorah, in the reward of Torah, Yiplu Ha'umois Tachteim Shel Yisrael. Okay, you can't ignore that. You can't ignore that.
Before Tekiya Shofar, we say a similar...
Right, we say a different mizmah. Amim Tachtecha Yipalu. Nations will fall for. But over here, we're connecting over here in the Zchus of the Torah. Talmidim are the arrows of their Rebbe. How many times do you hear today people, they say, who are you? Everyone today wants to know where you come from. Who are you? I'm a Talmud of Rav Yosha Ber. He's a Talmud of the Rav. Oh, we know who we're dealing with over here. I'm a Talmud of Rav Chutner. Oh, you right away know what you're dealing with. I'm a Talmud of Rav Moshe, a Talmud of Rav Aaron, a Talmud of Rav Baruch Sorotskin. Okay, everyone today, I'm a Talmud of Brisk. This is an arrow. This is a representative, an arrow that has gone forth from the Beis Medrash of so-and-so. And you right away know the nature, you right away understand where they're coming from. It's unfortunate, today it's less and less. Today we live in the global melting pot. You don't hear, it used to be years ago, there were different flavors. If you're a Talmud of Rav Chutner, it's a certain flavor of Judaism. If you're a Talmud of the Rav, it's a different flavor. You're a Talmud of Brisk. So it's there are different types of arrows.
Is that because
today we live in the global village. Whatever it is today, yeah, are just all the same. Because we don't have leaders today that have unique flavor. Today it's one size fits all. That's the nature of globalism. Globalism has affected Judaism. Everyone today, more or less, all of the yeshivas today are the same. There's almost no difference. You're going to tell me a difference in the flavor between Chaim Berlin and Torah Vadas today, as far as learning goes? I don't see it. I learned today in both. Years ago, when I first came, they were still living in the glow of Rav Chutner. Chaim Berlin today is not living in the glow of Rav Chutner anymore. Chaim Berlin today, as far as I see it, the learning and the devotion to Torah is the same exact thing as in Torah Vadas. It's the same exact thing as in Brisk. It's one flavor. They may have nicer buildings, okay? You want to go talk about who has cleaner bathrooms, that's a different story. Okay, that's a different story, which yeshiva is better funded. But as also as a Maila, in Chaim Berlin, there's tremendous bracha there. A boy who needs assistance, a boy in high school, in elementary school, who's not keeping up with the class, if the yeshiva took him into the yeshiva, and then the yeshiva discovers he can't keep up, he will get what he needs, no matter what. He will get. The kid needs help, he needs a tutor, he's getting a tutor, no matter what. Who's going to pay for it? So the yeshiva will make an assessment, and if they see that the parents are struggling to pay the tuition, they won't even ask the parents. The yeshiva will pay an enormous amount of money to get him where he needs to be. Unfortunately, in other yeshivas, they can't even pay the rebbeim. And if a kid needs help, they tell the parents he needs help. And if the parents can't get him help, the yeshivas, what can we do? We can't survive. We're drowning in financial burden. We can't help you. It's a tremendous mila. Having money and using it for the right thing goes a very, very long way. And if you use the money for the right thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hashkafa. It's all the same today. All the yeshivas are part of one network. There's no difference in the hashkafa. It's like one conglomerate. So you're going to say, oh, this is a Talmud. Who are you a Talmud of? All right, so you're a Talmud of this Rebbe, that Rebbe. It's all part of the same thing. But it used to be, over here, there's something very unique. A Talmud is an arrow of his Rebbe. There are different types of arrows. You go buy ammunition. Go online. It probably get into trouble. They're tracking your internet activity. You go try to buy ammunition for different weapons. There are different types of bullets, different types of ammunition. And right away you know what kind of weapon it came from. Today, if there's a crime, what is the first thing they do in the crime scene? Is the ballistics. They find the bullets, and they immediately can tell in a second what kind of weapon was used, and then they can right away start tracing. You know, everything goes backwards. That's what it says over here. It's arrows are exactly the same thing. An arrow is a product of a bow. The Rebbe is the bow. And the Talmud is the arrow. And the Talmidim, they represent where they came from, who shot them, and what kind of bow he had, what kind of weapon, what kind of Talmud Chacham he was. The students, it's a very powerful metaphor by comparing students to a Rebbe, and a Talmud is a bow and an arrow. The Rebbe is the bow, which doesn't just mean the bow. It means the warrior, the one who shot the arrow, what kind of weapon he has. And the student is the arrow. He comes from there. And the arrow is only as good as the bow. What the Rebbe puts in is what's gonna go forth. It's an incredibly powerful metaphor to compare a Rebbe and a Talmud to a bow and an arrow, an archer and the arrows that come forth. I once heard from the Radal. This Radal to me blows my mind. The Radal was a Mekubal. He was the same time as the Rav Chaim Vital. I think Rav Chaim Vital and the Radal, they're different. No. I'm taking that back. The Zoyar. I'm sorry. The time of the Zoyar. The Arizal. The Arizal and the Radal. There are different ways to learn Kabbalah. And the Radal was like the Arizal here, but a different mahalich in learning Kabbalah. And today I'm sure everyone over here goes to, we have a shiur at 3 a.m. in the morning of Mayor Appeldorf, it's on Zoom, Kabbalah, Zoyar. and today the mahalich today is to learn Zoyar Lefi, learn Kabbalah according to the approach of the Arizal, not according to the approach of the Radal, if I'm not mistaken. So the Radal says something that is mind-boggling. He says that we know that we have Shlomo HaMelech, he wrote Shir HaShirim. And Shir HaShirim is the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. The entire Shir HaShirim Gesundheit is a metaphor. What is the metaphor to describe the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael? A chosan and a kala. A man and a woman. Between a man and a woman, there's supposed to be love, right? A healthy relationship. And this... What?
Sure. The third party is the
Umos. The nations.
And the
those are the rejects. Okay. But basically, the basic love is between a man and a woman. The Radal says this is plan B. This was not what Shlomo HaMelech originally intended. When he wrote Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlomo, it was his original goal to describe the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael using a metaphor of a Rebbe and a Talmud, a teacher and a student, because the love between a Rebbe and a student is greater than the love between a man and a woman. Why then did he not write the whole Sefer Shir HaShirim using this metaphor? Because we were not Zoyche. It's because we worship the Egel. We did too many averos, which diminished that intensity between us and Hashem, and therefore we're not deserving to describe our relationship between us and Hashem in the utmost love that would appropriately be used between a Rebbe and a Talmud. So because of all of our, the next best thing was to describe it in terms of a man and a woman. Is that incredible? That's what the Radal says. Thus, over here, you're dealing over here, this mizmor is a very powerful mizmor, because over here, we are dealing with this relationship between us and Hashem, between a Rebbe and a Talmud, and here we're using these different metaphors. Now, just going back to this Rashi, what it means over here, that it's a mikra misoros. What does it mean? Chitzecha, go back to the chitzecha shenunim, your arrows are sharp. Rashi again says, yeah? Diligently
sharpening your students, your thoughts and your concept that you are teaching to
your students, is touching upon another very important point. We say Kriya Shema twice every day. And in Kriya Shema, there are two parashios. There is Shema and V'hoyim Shema. You have Yohavta. In Yohavta, we say V'shinantam Livonecha. in the second parsha, vilimadetem oisam es b'nechem. So if you translate these two terms literally, vishinantam, you shall teach diligently livonecha to your children. In the second parsha, it says vilimadetem oisam es b'nechem. We don't say the word vishinantam, we use the word vilimadetem. You shall teach oisam them, Torah, oisam livnechem to your children. According to the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, in the first parish of Kriyashma, when it says Livonecha, it doesn't mean your children. Eilu HaTalmidim. It's only in the second parish of Kriyashma, where it says Vilimadetem Oysam Es Bneichem, there Bneichem means literally your children. So again, in the first parish of Ve'ohavta, you come to the words Vishinantam Livonecha, Livonecha, Eilu HaTalmidim. In the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, where you come to the words Vilimadetem Oysam Es B'neichem, there it means your biological children. And it's been taken note of by many of the commentators, is that in the Torah, first in Parshas Voeschanan, do we have the parsha of Ve'ohavta? Only later in Parshas Ekev do we have the Parsha of V'Hayoyim Shemaya. You would think that the Torah would first tell us that you should teach Torah to your biological children, and after you straighten out your house and your children know how to read and write and learn Torah, then you can go off to yeshiva and you can teach your students, your rabbinical students. And yet, it's not like that. The Torah reversed it. The Torah first taught you an obligation to teach Torah to your students, your spiritual students, and then only tells you you shall go home and make sure you teach Torah to your biological children. And that needs to be understood. Why is the order in this way? And don't say, oh, the order doesn't make a difference. Well, guess what? In Tefillin, it does make a very big difference. If you go and even write it, if you write it the wrong way, it's possible. I mean, it's not necessary when it comes. If a sofer writes the parasha of Ehoyim Shemaya before he writes the parasha of Shema, the tefillin are possible, the mamish possible. So the order makes a very big difference when it comes to tefillin, and when it comes and you know, this is part of our tefillin. It's also part of a mezuzah. And the mezuzah, there are these two parashios. It's a shocking thing. First, teach your children, your spiritual children, and then teach your biological children. Why is it in that order? I don't know. There are answers, but the answers don't really resonate with me. Some of the answers that I've seen, that's why I've blocked it out of my head, because if I had an answer that resonated with me, it would stick in my head. Okay, you can think of your own answer, but just keep that in mind, because this mizmor is an incredible mizmor, because this mizmor is describing, according to Rashi, Torah. And Torah has many components, and this specific pasuk focuses upon students. Vishinantam livonecha, as Rabbi Michal pointed out, vishinantam diligently. You have to review it many, many times to make sure the students fully comprehend what you're saying and they understand it. And then it says in this chitzecha shenunim, it's exactly the same word. Vishinantam elu hatalmidim. And here we're using a metaphor to compare it to your arrows. They are what are going to take you forward. Maybe you'll come and answer the question is, why do people have children? Why do they have children? In order to legacy. Is zera shel kayama, to keep yourself in this world. The person leaves this world. Who preserves his existence on this world? His children. His children are the next link. Look, we're now 133 generations from Matan Torah. Mark, can you name who your great-great-grandfather going up 133 generations were? Everyone here has approximately... Yaakov. Who? Yaakov. Everyone over here has approximately... Can you imagine that number? Have anyone have a yichus brief? Most people can't go more than five generations. Your father's father, 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 ben achar ben, you can go up approximately 133 fathers and he'll take you back to who was standing at Har Sinai at Kabbalah Satorah, 600,000 people. Which one of those 600,000 people was your father's father going up 133 generations? So in order to preserve your legacy, you have children. You have children, right? That's why you have children. So that the people there who stood at Har Sinai, they had children. So we can today say that they existed. We are carry on their legacy. 133 generations that we carry on their legacy. So along comes the pasuk, and the pasuk says, you want to have a legacy? There's another way to have a legacy. Have to have talmidim, students, because students can go even further. They're like arrows. You're shooting arrows. When you influence a person through the koyach of Torah, they become your arrow in a different way. They become, they take you, you know, a person can only go only that far. But if you have an arrow goes a long distance. Arrow goes, so there's a propagation. It's a different dimension. It's not a dimension, you know, there's a physical dimension of propagating, to preserve, or to travel. And there's another dimension of going far, a distance, like an arrow. So here it dwells upon that principle that a student, this metaphor, everyone knows this Chazal, but it's not so common to really delve into the depth of what this really means. It's a very powerful concept that a student is called an arrow. Now let's get the clarity in this Rashi. Rashi over here is saying that the enemy here is a student. See, we learned until now the Mitzudois David, and he says the Melech here refers to heads of state. Okay, you have a world. How many countries are there in the world today? 130 something.
Closer to 200.
200 countries in the United Nations.
230
something. So many, 230 something in the United Nations. 168 United Nations today, recognized countries in the United States. Okay, most of them no one cares about, no one even heard it, can't even pronounce the name of the country. Go to the United Nations, they sit around in a circle. Okay, there are nations. So they're heads of state. And many of these heads of state, they I don't know why, when there's a resolution to condemn Israel, they vote positive to condemn Israel. Ask the head of state, do you even know on the map where it is? And they'll tell you no. So what do you do anything? What do you know about Israel? I don't know. So why did you vote to condemn them? It's incredible. And they make pass a resolution to condemn Israel for some nonsense.
Because there's a Muslim bloc.
So yeah, we condemn Israel. And then they show these clips, they interview these heads of state that voted to condemn Israel. They don't even know the Aleph Beis.
Right.
So those people, guess what? They're still called the Melech because they have a seat. They have a seat at the table with a plaque with their name on it. They have a plaque. So it says that the Melech HaMashiach will come. This according to the Mitzvot, he's going to shoot arrows and they're going to land in the heart of these heads of state. Because they're a bunch of idiots. Okay, Baruch Hashem, at least we have some friends. But this is the shoot of Pshat according to the parish of the Mitzudot David. Because we're dealing over here with the Melech HaMashiach. We're dealing with the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach is going to be a warrior, and he's going to shoot arrows, and they're going to land in the heart of the enemies of the Melech. Enemies of the Melech. The Melech of according to the Mitzudot David, the subject of Melech is the Melech HaMashiach. And the Melech HaMashiach has enemies, other heads of state. And the arrows that he shoots are going to land in their hearts and they're going to be eliminated. According to Rashi, no. The Melech is the Talmud Chacham. It's the Talmud Chacham. Because Man Malke Rabbanon, someone said this yesterday, and the arrows are Talmudic debate. And the Pasuk is that students who fight one another, it's like they're shooting arrows into each other's heart. This is described Milcham de Shal Torah. So Yiplu.
How does that result
in Tachtecha Yiplu? That's exactly Mikra Misoiros. So that's exactly what Rashi says, which is very difficult. Rashi, everyone, see, no one's perfect. Everyone has baggage in their interpretation of the Pasuk. Because according to Rashi, the end of the pasuk is a continuation of the beginning of the pasuk. Exactly what Rashi means is a mikra misoiros, which is a very painful thing for Rashi, I have to say. Because Rashi is acknowledging that my interpretation of the pasuk has come up against a roadblock. And I have no choice but to make sense of the pasuk by saying that we have to do some cut and paste here. For the American audience who only knows how to read words like the New York Times, serial to go in order. And this is not going to work over because over here I have to do a cut and paste. I have to read the pasuk, chitzecha, your arrows, you master Talmud Chacham, they are shinonim, they are sharp, and skip the next words, misoiros. Misoiros means inverted. Skip the next words, skip the words amim, tachtecha, yipolu, skip them. And just continue, chitzecha shinonim, where will the arrows land? The arrows will land in the heart of the Oyvei HaMelech, in your students who are trying to attack you. Your students are your enemies, because that's the nature of Milchamta Shel Torah, Talmudic debate. Talmudic debate is where the Rebbe says a chiddush and the student says, Rebbe, you know, you're wrong. I'm sorry, Rebbe, you may be very great, but we slug you up. You're wrong. There's a Tosfos that you forgot about. And then he says, no, you're wrong. And sometimes the Rebbe acknowledges defeat. Okay, He throws out the sword. Look, Rabbi Shaul Salant, I read recently, Rabbi Shaul Salant, he wrote about himself that he was giving a shir. He had, you know, people don't appreciate, he was going in Lomdus. Some, there's like a mazel, certain people, they're going in Lomdus, but they're only known for other things. They're only known for Musar. Rabbi Shaul Salant was a goyin in Lomdus, but no one talks about his Lomdus. No one learns his chidushin, they only learn his Musar. But as I was giving a shir, and a student asked me a very difficult question. And he said, at the moment, on the spot, I had 10 answers to wipe the floor with this guy, to rip him 10 brilliant answers to show him that his question doesn't stand to witness the day of light. But I said to myself, you know something? He's really right. I can rip the floor. I can rip him to shreds. But I know deep down, he has a good point. So I said, Yisrael, you're the big Baal Musar. You're the big Baal Musar. You tell everyone to learn Musar, a Musar Shtibel. And you're now going to go and rip this kid to shreds and give him 10 answers and to show him that he doesn't know what he's talking about because he's so smart and you know how to slug him up. You're the big Baal Musar. You know he's right. So I said, I'll be a hypocrite if I wouldn't stop the shir right now. And I said, I made a decision at that moment to be moida al ha'emes. I said, my Talmud, you got me. You got me. You asked me a kasha, I didn't think about this, and you're right. The shir is over. Class dismissed. Okay, then I'll tell you my other favorite story of Aaron Soloveitchik, which I told you 100 times, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in Chaim Berlin. He was once a very prominent Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. There was a new student who arrived. And he sat in the class and the shir, and everything Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, this boy slugged up. He was a meshug, whatever. He slugged him up. And he kept on trying to, you know, all right. So then when the shir was over, he didn't really slug him up. He just tried, you know, to make believe he knows more than the Rebbe. When the shir was over, they were filing out of the classroom. And Hashkacha Pratis, as they came to the door, Rav Aaron was by the door, and the student was by the door at the same time. So the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said to the student, you go first. You can go first. So the student says to Rav Aaron in front of the whole class, Rebbe, just because I slugged up your shir, it doesn't mean you have to give me such kavod and let me go first out the door. So Rav Aaron says, the reason why I'm telling you to go first is not because you slugged up my shir, because you're holding in your hand a sefer. And the halacha is, if someone's holding a sefer, they go first for the kovoid of the sefer, not for your honor. So Rav Aaron got in the last word with the mechutzef. But going back over here, it's a mikra misayros chitzecha shenunim. Your arrows are sharp, which means Rebbe, you have good talmidim. You have good talmidim. Skip the next words. And believe, where do the arrows land? Or really, there's this Talmudic debate. They are amim shenunim. Yipalu, the arrows, the Talmudic, they would, when you fight, well, let's say, Yipalu believe, this is really a more poetic expression. Yipalu believe oive hamelech, the arrows land in the heart of the enemies of the king, which is an expression. Let's try to read the words again in Rashi again. There are arrows, shenemar. Okay, then he goes on, hamizuyonim bahalacha, that are armed in halacha, kruim oivim zel zelifi shoshanemar lo yavoshu. And he's basically saying over here is that there's a battle going on over here with the arrows. The students are fighting back and forth, and the arrows are landing, they're enemies to one another, and the arrows land in their hearts, and I'm assuming melech over here means manmalke rabbonan. After you finish that, now we can go backwards, mikra misayros, and mensch, by the way, you should know that this Talmudic debate between students and watching them kill each other in arguing in halacha, you know what happens when you do that? In that merit, amim tachtecha yipalu. In that merit, the nations, your enemies, just drop dead. They just collapse in front of you. In the zuchus of having chitzecha shenunim, and they fight their oivim, their enemies to one another, and their arrows land in the heart of the oive hamelech, which I'm assuming now is an expression, which means that there is a battle of Talmudic debate. In that merit, go backwards. Amen, we repeat the word yiplu. The word yiplu is, we learn like the mitzudos, that it's meant to be repeated twice, and that's zuchus. Amim tachtecha yipalu. Nations collapse in the zechus of Torah. It is part of the arsenal of Klal Yisrael, besides the hishtadlus. Of course, you have to have, in our day and age, you have to have an army. No one's going to argue with that. But part of the arsenal of Klal Yisrael is to have people who are devoted to full-time Torah study. And in that merit, nations collapse before us. I told you yesterday, this avart, which you need to have a muna to appreciate, is that every so often in Shamayim, there is a gezerah that is going to be a milchama. Terrible, terrible gezerahs. And we have a pasuk, chazal, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim, they're marbe peace in the world. Where do you see Talmidei Chachamim being marbe Shalom Ba'olam? So the word is that when the Talmidei Chachamim fight and debate and argue in learning Torah, they get worked up, like Mark. Mark gets worked up sometimes. I say something he doesn't like, he gets all worked up. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. That milchama in war fulfills the gezerah. And no one has to get hurt. If there's a gezerah in the Welt that is going to be a milchama, if Talmidei Chacham will just intensify their learning and they will get worked up and they'll fight with each other in the pshat, in Tosfos, oh, the gezerah min hashamayim of milchama has been niskayim. It's no longer necessary for nations to kill each other and people to die, people to suffer. So thus, by them learning, they've fulfilled the gezerah, so now there can be shalom in the world. There can be peace in the world. This is a vart. I told you, you have to have a muna to appreciate this vart. And in essence, it's exactly what it's saying over here, is that chitzecha, well, it's not exactly what it's saying over here, because over here it's saying that in the zuchus of Klal Yisrael learning Torah, their enemies are defeated, and at least we do not have to suffer casualties. If you don't go out to war, you know, remember the Lebanon War. Olmert was the prime minister, and they started shooting missiles in Lebanon. You know how many people died? How many soldiers died? 400 soldiers died. 400 people are no longer here. Young boys. For who and for what? 400 young chayolim died. Kefar l'cha thing. To go make a decision to go to war, suddenly you don't have a choice. Okay, Netanyahu, this is his, you know, who he won his job to make decisions, to send people into the West Bank to go find a terrorist. Mamash, you're going into the most dangerous places in the world. You know how dangerous it is? And Rahman al-Islam, someone gets hurt, gets injured, gets killed. Can you imagine that? To make these decisions, should go to war, not go to war. They start getting and if we have a zuchus, if there's a zuchus where siyata d'shmaya, it's not necessary to go into war, and no one has to get hurt. It's incredible. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to stop over here for today. We'll continue with this tomorrow. Today we're going to learn. Have a great topic to learn. Have a new sefer, incredible sefer. I think it's very controversial. The sefer. I want to spend 2 days on it. It's called The Great Zmanim Debate. Bar Rabbi Aaron Notis. I'll tell you all about him, and I'll tell you what he says, and I'll tell you the controversy. This sefer is a must read. The Great Zmanim Debate. We'll talk about it after the break. This book is gold. It's gold. I personally think that this is a very controversial book. I'll show you why.